So we have a Gemara like this. The Gemara in Tzadik Aleph in Sanhedrin has a fascinating story. I didn't look at it recently, so we're going to have to go through slowly here, but it basically says, Shuv Pam Echad. What happened was, is that the ancient people of the Egyptian descendants came over and they said, listen, here comes Bo B'nei Mitzrayim L'Adonai Yisrael. L'Fnei Alachsan just Muktam. They came and they said, listen, we got a problem here. What happened was, you guys, it says in the Torah, V'Hashem Nasan Aschenam B'Ein Mitzrayim V'Shalom, you guys asked for all the stuff. You took all this stuff. You borrowed all of this gold and silver as you emptied out Egypt. You never gave it back to us. It's time to give it back. Open Gemara and Sanhedrin. So Gemara says, Amagvi ben Psisa, l'chachamim, give me Rishus. I know how to answer the question. If I win, it's good. And if they win, they'll say, who's this guy? He's a regular Rebbe and a half to. Who cares, right? Doesn't count as anything. Now, so it goes like this. So he says, listen, he tells the guys, where did you get the idea that we borrowed money? Like, it's the ancient history. You have a scribe that wrote it down from the times of the pyramids. What do you have here? He said, don't worry, we have it right from the Torah. The Torah says what we just told you. The Torah says that the Jews left Egypt by borrowing all the money. Okay. So he says, oh, you'll go with the Torah? Let me tell you what else it says in the Torah, because since you're claiming that your document, why they couldn't see this coming is mind-blowing. Oh, you have it in the Torah. Let me tell you what it says. It says the Jews stayed in Egypt for 430 years. Let's start making a mathematical cheshbon of how many times, how much money it costs to have an enslaved nation for 430 years, and we'll start making a cheshbon. They said, oh, good point. Let's think it over. Let's think it over. The Egyptians said, let's think it over. And they started looking around, and they couldn't find it. So what did they do? They fled. That's what it says. So we have a Gemara saying that on some level, the Egyptians came with a legit taina before they accepted what they did. You borrowed the money. You never returned the money. So based on that Gemara, they don't ask it on that Gemara. They ask it on the Pesukim. The Mefarshim have a very simple kasha. What's the pshat taka that Hashem set the system up this way? Why were they borrowing it? It says, we say in the Agadah, you left Biyar Chazaka, Zroi Natuya, right? We have all Isai Sumayfsim, Mayra Gadol, the whole thing you're going to say in 2 weeks, right? The Jews were in full power. Not only that, Rashi says, by the way, that when they went over to them and they wanted to borrow the money, what happened? They said, no, we're giving it to you. The Jews said, hey, we're going to borrow that, we're going to give it. So you had full power at this point in time. We're assuming, most Rishonim, that the borrowing of the money happened either right before Makas Becharis, during the night of Makas Becharis, when the game was game, set, and match. It was all over already. So why did Hashem set this up as a borrowing? It doesn't sound so nice. Again, we have a taina. You can come on to it. So if you have a taina, that's 430 years of slave labor. I have a better idea. Go walk in there and say, by the way, you owe me money. Why borrow? So you say, you owe me. Manashach, if either you're playing a trick or you owe the money, what's going on over here? So that's a kash by some of the many mefarshim. So we'll go through several answers tonight. These are, before I walked in, I had like five different shurim I was thinking about giving while I was driving here in the rain. And since something, first answer is this. The Gemara in Gittin says that if a slave wants to break away, daf mem, if a slave wants to break away from his owner, from his master, he can do certain things. He'll run to Eretz Yisrael, get out of jail, free card. He's certain things he could do. And within those details, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not that you just running away, yeah. But not every one of these things he could do is that easy. One of them is, if he could take off his stempel, he takes off his stamp in front of the owner, and he walks with the owner in the street. Look, barabim and brazen kite. That works a little bit. But the Gemara seems to have a detail, and says like this, that if the owner places tefillin upon, somebody, my daughter's gone, oh, that's why. If the owner places tefillin upon the servant, that's a get out of jail free card. That means the owner's maskim. If he goes and puts on tefillin by himself, it's not such a raya. We could say Americanized. Why? Because the owner says it. He's mechuyev mitzvahs, and if it's mechuyev mitzvahs, okay, so he's putting on tefillin. It's not a big deal. But if the owner makes the first move and he puts the tefillin on the guy and people see it, that's it. That's a raya of cheres. I don't need an emancipation document. He's out. So the first answer someone to bring down that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying this. If you go in and grab the money, Avada, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got you out of there. But Lamai said they didn't let you go. They didn't let you go. You ran away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed might and you ran away. Avada, that's Chashev. But no, I don't want that. I want the Egyptians to agree that they're letting you go. If they wanted them to agree, let them give it to you. Go over to them and tell them, give me your items. Not, I'm taking anything. So it's not answering so much, according to me, it's not answering so much why it's, they said it, but they're a She'elo. That's not so good, but there are ways to fit it in. But clearly when Rashi says that, when he went over and said Kachela, that means they're starting a conversation, and then what they say? Rashi says the words. No, take it. The take it means they're out of the game. Now you can't stop me anymore. So that's the first answer on why we're going to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think it takes off the trick. It's not a trick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, no, I don't want to play a trick with you. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want them to admit that the game is over. No mas. Say it. How do you say no mas from an owner to a slave? Put on the tefillin. Jews weren't wearing tefillin the night of Mitzrayim. What's the option B? Option B is okay. Give them the stuff. You're handing over your jewelry. You're handing over your pravata shezachin. You're home free. That's answer number one. Now, I still want to say for my Reshes Moshe. None of your Rebbeim heard of it. Don't worry about it. So the Reshes Moshe, he was an Uranical. He was a great-grandson of the Holy Rebbe of Kotsk. As we know, from the politics of the world, if how much you study it, I don't know. I just came back from a week in Poland. That's why I looked up the Sefer. Because in the Kotsk, they were believing in real Torah. Not that other Hasidis don't, not that modern Orthodox doesn't, but in Kotsk, for sure, Torah was Torah. So when you have Kotsk Torah, it comes out real. So this Mereshes Moshe, again, not a popular Sefer, this Mereshes Moshe first starts out by quoting the Rebbe from the Kotsk. He says, the Rebbe from the Kotsk asked this Kasha. Who's the Rebbe from the Kotsk? Reb Simcha Bonham of Pshischa. Some of Pshischa was clearly a giant in learning, worth spending many, many hours discussing. And he asked his kasha, what's with the shtick? What's going on here? What are you making a shtick for? Just go and take the stuff. Yad Chazaka, go take it. So the Rebbe of Pshischa comes up with a very cryptic response. And this Mereshes Moshe is defending the Kotzka's Rebbe. Because the answer I'm going to give you is what he says in the Sefer, Kol Simcha. Simcha Bonham, he didn't write it himself, but that's the title from the Simcha Bonham. Kol Simcha gives the answer like this. That had the Jews gone and taken it, to the Rebbe Nissa. Can't have an Issa. So the only way to avoid the Issa is by them giving it to you. What Issa are we talking about? I want to defend the person, but I don't know. What Issa did it do? They're stealing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking Yad Chazaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take it. It was a mitzvah to take it. They're stealing from the Egyptians. The Egyptians already were saying no mas. They didn't actually take it. What's the difference? Why are you going through this minor detail? So this Mereshes Moshe decides three approaches. We'll do all three. I talk a little fast. We'll do all three approaches. Each one's a Lamdasha approach. And each one is answering this question. What would be the Isser? That's what he's trying to answer. What would be the Isser that the Kol Simcha is talking about? And why, therefore, was it necessary to play the shtick? Answer one. Who were the Jews enslaved to in Egypt? Avadim. I can't sing for the life of me. Ayinu the who? Pari. Who did they borrow the money from? In this Gemara, they're saying 430 years to who? The guy came, a descendant of Egypt. Doesn't say he was a descendant of Paroi. He says, oh, you guys stole my money. Oh, but you enslaved us. Now they ran away. Stupid guy. They should have said, we didn't enslave you. My great-grandfather was a guy. He was a butcher. He was a butcher in Egypt, but he didn't do anything. He didn't enslave anybody. Oh, the Medina enslaved you? What did they do me? Do you have a right to go to Bavatisha people and take money based on the government? Do we believe in reparations in American law? Not going down politics tonight. Do we believe in such a thing? Because the government of America allows us things. Every provincial person has to pay money in taxes now. But then, who? So the question now is, what are they doing to Jews? So he answers, Mereshes Moshe. Has to be. He's thinking this right now. I see his face. It has to be. What do you mean? There was no private property. Do we not remember the story of Yosef? Yosef made the whole property. The king owned everything. It wasn't like we have an America private property. He owned nothing. The king took over. When Yosef took over, by the way, it's one of my books eventually I'm going to write a sefer on. I have to talk about my schools and sefers. Everyone can support my next sefer. But the fact is that I want to write a book eventually of all the genius political strategies that Yosef did, that he planned for 200 years. One of them is he gave the land away. Rashi already gives you a reason. Why do you give the land away? So everyone should feel like a loser. Don't let the Jews feel like they're refugees. Everyone's a refugee. But according to this answer, it's another new gang now. Because the only way the Jews would be able to collect money from the ganze Welt would be if every person owned the land to the Egyptian pharaoh. The Egyptian pharaoh owns everything, which means I can get land from anywhere. Everyone owes me. Not finished yet. So since everyone owes them, I'm allowed to go over to them and ask them for money or take the money. They owe me the money. The Gemara Sanhedrin is saying they owe me the money. Doesn't mean not the Gemara Sanhedrin, but it's obvious. The Gemara Sanhedrin said, you owe me the money now. But he has a kasha. There's a big machlekes taz and shach. It's in one of these volumes somewhere. I have to look it up. I don't remember where. I didn't prepare enough. But could an Eved own money or not? Does an Eved have right to own money? So we know the basic rule is, kol masha kona Eved, kona rabbi. Whatever the Eved has, the rabbi has. But there's a machlokes taz and shach on the exact details. What about if someone presents, that's not a verb, but in the present form. Is that what it is? Presents and present. No, 1600 SAT. You can't even answer a question. But there is a gift. Gifted. Good word. I apologize. Gifted. If someone gifted something, almanas. And by the way, it applies to women also. If someone gifts something, almanas, that the rabbi does not have rishos, what happens in this case? Does the Eved own the thing or not? Why I discussed in one of my svarim is because it says the Eved has to eat to come Pesach and Eved has to eat matzah. Does an Eved own anything? Could an Eved own matzah to eat matzah? Lachem, you need lachem matzah. Hold it in drush. So how could an Eved even own matzah? Mechasinuch brings this down. So Mechasinuch discusses this case. What's the case? Taz and Shach. What's the case of an Eved potentially owning something? Okay. So now what happens? We have a guy coming in Egypt years later saying, listen, what do you come? You can't come to me for money. What do you steal my money? I was a private citizen. He said, oh, yeah, private citizen. The master owned everything. Pharaoh owned everything. So he says, Pharaoh didn't own everything. You know why? Because when my uncle, the Egyptian, died, he bequeathed to me X amount of money on condition Pharaoh doesn't get it. Thus is minor guilt. Why are the Jews stealing minor guilt? That's not allowed. So when the Jews are coming out to take money from the regular citizens of Egypt, there's a question if they're allowed to take it or not. Pharaoh owes them 430 years of slave labor, but the average citizen doesn't owe them. So now the question becomes, according to Mereshes Moshe, on who is the burden of the proof? I say, as a Jew, your uncle never gave it to you. Baloney, four generations ago, your uncle hated you. He never gave it to you. Who said your uncle owned it? Maybe Pharaoh owned your uncle's property. But the Egyptians say, no, my uncle's a tzaddik. So who has to prove what here? Who has to prove what? So Mereshes Moshe proves, that we can't go into too much, Mereshes Moshe proves, that depends how, who's the mochzik in the money. Whoever's holding the money, as we know, Hamotzei Rechav Raya. So if the Yidden were holding the money through force, then they got to prove that there's a 1% chance this private property is not private property. The Jews have to prove it. You can't prove something from that many years ago. But if you gave it to me, now I'm the mochzik, a legal mochzik. You gave it to me, you handed it over to me, the burden of proof's on you. You have to prove that your uncle gave you that money on those conditions. So therefore, he says, he wants to say the Isser, playing with the Kol Simcha's words a little bit, the Isser is going to be, because there's a 1% chance he's stealing the money. Why is a 1% chance he's stealing the money? Because maybe this guy didn't owe you the money. Maybe the citizen didn't owe you the money. So when the Jews in the time of Egypt were going into everyone's house and saying, we need money from you, 430 years slave labor, even though they didn't say it at the time, they didn't want to say, we're grabbing the money. No, please give me the money. First answer was, give me the money, I'll save you tefillin. Second answer, you give me the money, you know why? Because when you give me the money, now you got to go prove it.
Why isn't
tefisa one? See, it does, in this case, he brings down that's why the whole thing we're not going into.
By Kimli.
By what?
Kimli.
Right.
Say if he could hold like the shach.
Correct. That's the whole sugar we're ignoring right now. He proves that in the end, how the money came to the hands of who it's on. Because he's saying that, we're going to go into the next answer, he's going to prove it more. Tefisa doesn't work all the time that you become the muchzik. We believe tefisa helps for a lot of cases, but not in every single case. There are certain cases that tefisa doesn't help to make you the bialist in order to do it. We're on the right track. So we have two answers so far. Third answer, which is the second answer from Rashi's Moshe. Similar. If a guy owes you money, not recommending this in American law, because today we have squatters' rights, but if a guy owes you money in Jewish law, you go into the guy's house and you tefis the money. There's no bezdin involved yet. I grab the money, as he's saying correctly, my money, I own it, now you prove it. Okay, that's when you owe me money. But not every time you owe me money. And this is what he wants to say. When Pare decided to enslave the Egyptians, Dina the Malchus Adina doesn't work when you pick out certain people to be slaves. Dina the Malchus Adina works when everyone is equated with equally. So Pare, on some right, owned everything. He has to turn around and tell everyone, you're all going to be slaves. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the Jews do it. So the Jews at this moment, according to Mereshes Moshe, they are the Pareya, the Choyvei of Chaveray. They're paying back the loan that the Egyptians owned. The Egyptians owe a certain amount of land, certain amount of hours in slave labor. They also own it. That's the way Medina works. And the Jews filled in those properties. So the Jews now want to come and they say, okay, you owe us money now because we worked for you for free. We never got paid. We worked for your work. Your hard labor was my hard labor. You were supposed to put in 5 hours and I put in 10 hours. Pareya Chayvei Machlekes as well, but Pareya Chayvei of Chaveri, if you could be Toifis, is Machlekes. So therefore, they can't go and grab the money back that you owed me as a private citizen for the work I did for you, for the hours I put in, for the hours you should have been working. No, it doesn't work that way. What you have to do in this case is, you have to wait for him to give it to you. And when he gives it to you, that's Pareya Chayvei works. So they had to go over and play the ruse and ask for a loan, as opposed to grabbing it outright. Is this too long to say? quiet credit. Am I okay? I'm going pretty long. No? It's Kotz Columbus. That's three. Are we with me? Three answers so far. Fourth answer. Then we'll get a little Jewish. We'll get a little Jewish then, okay? Fourth answer. Final answer for now, because we're going to lose the credit. Fourth answer is this. There's a chashash. There's a real question asked by Rishonim. We are not allowed to be mishtamish with Avodah Zarah. Or with things that have worked for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah stuff's off the table. How far it goes? Go look at the old Tshuva's farm. Can I take a bench from a cloister? Becomes a question. Something used in the service, not used in the service. It's a very extensive sugya. The assumption was that Egyptian pharaoh land was idolatrous. Major question by Rishonim, how are they taking the animals for kabbonis? Major question. That's a much worse thing. Because you want to use it for private property, you can take a bench and put it in your house. But could you take a bench and use it in the base? Maybe that's much worse.
What if they only were cows?
They were going to take the animals and slaughter them. It's a big kasha.
Maybe only ones that want worship.
Oh, so then you got to go figure it out. Correct. That's what Rishonim are asking. Rishonim are asking, what are you doing with the cows here? This Maharsha Moshe is moving that over to everything in Egypt. He's saying on some level, Paro owned everything. Paro was an idolatrous person. Everything's idolatrous. How are you going to get rid of this stuff? So how do you get rid of it? One of the ways you get rid of it is if the Goy himself says, Zai Gebench, not my idol. Bittel nullification by a Goy on his own idol works. But Bittel nullification on a Goy only works when the Goy's holding the item.
Not just that it's
Mavatala
and it's not.
That's what I meant. Mavatala, it's not about the Zara. He's nullifying that this is no longer about the Zara. I now decided that this golden statue is not going to save my life. So when he says that, the statue's is about the Zara, Mutabana. Maybe not for a show, but something else. Mutabana. And everything associated with the statue becomes Mutabana. But he can only do it when he's holding the statue. If someone else grabbed the statue, it doesn't work anymore. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a game. He says, listen, I want the Jews to make the money, but everything's idolatrous here. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have them give it to the Jews, loan it to the Jews. Who owns that item at that moment in time? The lender. The lender owns it. So the next day, when the idols become crashing down, and the idolatrous people say, I'm nullifying my Vedzara, or Mamil is nullified, the Midrash, they nullified it. Since they had possessions technically of the idols become nullified, and therefore it's all good. But had the Jews grabbed it, in a moment when it was still Usur, Isuri Lailu.
Great. Moshe's request was the animals, and Paro eventually said, "Go, take everything, go."
Right, but we're going on two different sukkim. Well, we're talking about when they borrowed the items. The borrowing of the animals is not so clear that he ever asked for it. In fact, it says, "Gamata titem biyadenu." Gamata titem biyadenu. You're going to give it to us.
Titem.
Right, but titem means it's mine. If it's mine, it becomes a problem because then it's never nullified. The nullification has to work when it's not mine, but not the Jews. Has to stay the guys. Four answers. Let's do some drush. Wake everyone up. There's a very big question asked by Hosha Mobner. Here's a question. This is a major name, by the way. The Egyptians are sitting there and they're saying, you know what? Take it all. 200 years of slavery. Take it all. We're celebrating on Yetzias Mitzrayim by night. Yed Brekala. Every piece of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to the whole night on it. Misaprim Kalalai. The whole night you could be talking about the Nisim. Certain Nisim seem to be missing. I'll send Benji a shir I gave on the Kanfei Nesharim. Do we not mention the Kanfei Nesharim? Do we not know that the Jews flew on Kanfei Nesharim to the base of Mikdash into the Karban Pesach? Are you aware of that? Targum Yonison says that the Jews ate the Karban Pesach the night of Mitzrayim in Yerushalayim. We don't even talk about that. Ever, why don't we talk about it, say tonight? I've all shared that, I'll send you a link. But I have a different gosh now. Let's go to all the Nisim. Is this not major? Not a major nace? So, we have a very big problem on Pesach night. Pesach night is a night of chinuch. You were trained by your parents. I don't know who has what. Mitch Shemba, everybody, train your own kids. That's what you're doing. It's a night of chinuch. Okay, what are you doing with our chinuch? We tell the kid like this. We want to keep you awake. I have a good idea. Steal. What? I can make a lot of half the jokes right now about the I'm holding back because we're on tape. What? Steal? By the way, you know that the Gemara says if you steal as a joke, you're a Renissa. If you steal to return it, you're a venisser. If you steal to return it and paid kafel to a guy who's poor, you're a venisser. On Purim, there's a question, can you actually steal? B'derech Chatzonos on Purim. You have to come up with major terror. That's adults. But we want to train our kids. We're going to tell our kids, you know what? Steal. And you know what to do if you steal? I love you so much for stealing from me. I'm going to give you the biggest gift of your life. Whatever you want is yours. What? It happens to be that because of this, this question, not my question. It's so serious that there are svarim from 300 years ago. Moire Ur. No one knows. That's fine. That's a, no, that's all. This safer no, but this vort maybe. No, this safer is not. It's a, it's a, it has some.
We have some chashuv or bayim. I'm just saying.
Rookie. Now, the idea is that some of the old menhagim, even chassidus today, in many places, they fire against stealing afikarim. By the way, and they say this. They give multiple reasons. One of them is chinuch on theft. Insane. I just gave you five esurim right here. I'm saying you can't do it. Second of all, they say, even more important. Is that in certain areas of the world, it spread rumors. You know what the guy used to say? You know what Jews do? The Jews train their kids to steal. They make blood with the matzahs. You know what else they do on Pesach night? They train their kids to steal from the goyim. He said, this is a disaster. You can't be doing such stuff. Out. Can't do it. And there are many Hasidus today and other places that are against us because of what we just said. It has some disaster points. Now it says, the Gemara says, that Avram, that Hashem, Gemara Brachas, Daf Tes, that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, do me a favor, tell the Jews to ask for some silver and gold. You know why? Because Avram Avinu, I promised him, V'acharei ken yotze b'rechush gadol, you'll be avodim, but you're going to leave with a rechush gadol. So do me a favor. Without fragging him, tell the Jews to go ask for money. Everyone asks this kasha. And he says, why? The Gemara ends, because the Jews can tell Avram that I kept my promise. The Jews can. Do you not have to keep your promise otherwise? I mean, Hashem told the Jews, borrow the money so I can tell Avram I kept my promise. Tell Avram, you got to keep your promise anyway. Let's see, you wouldn't tell Avram. What were they talking about here? There's 100 different answers. But one answer I saw, the phrase is strange. Acharei ken yotza, after they will be redeemed, b'rechush gadol. What does gadol mean? In general, the Gemara, many times, gadol mechlau, the ikakot. That means Hashem said like this. There's a cotton and a gadol. That means they're going to have two wealths being grabbed. A cotton and a gadol. The gadol is going to be by Bizas Hayam. So Hashem said, listen, the Jews are going to get the gadol. I promised it. Of course they're going to get it. I promised them. I don't need it anymore. I promised Avram. But when I promised Avram, I said the word gadol, even though, of course, I meant gadol meaning great wealth. But it also means gadol mechal deka cotton. I have to make sure I cover that also. Hashem's emes la'amitoy. Every word of gadol has to be encompassed into this thing. In order to have a gadol, I have to have a cotton. How do I have a cotton? Do me a favor. Go now and get some geld. Go borrow some money so I can tell Avram, rechush gadol, I did a gadol and a cotton. Which means there's a cotton and a gadol when it comes to the borrowing of the money. And Hashem is doing it for this. So Hashem's telling us, go borrow the money. They're going to say, tain. They're done. Tain, take it. I'm not borrowing it. And there's going to be a gadol as well. The reason I'm borrowing it now is only to fulfill the concept of later on. Otherwise, I have Bizas Yam. I don't need anything. They're going to get $1 billion Bizas Yam. I don't need $10 now. I'm only doing now to create that. So possible to say, that's what we're doing with the Afikoman. The Afikoman is not a theft. Because no kid, if your kid at 5 years old can steal from you, you got problems. Right? In the answer, you're allowing it, right? Of course you're allowing it. The whole thing's a spiel. Because the whole thing is supposed to be a spiel. And what are you doing later on? You're going to reward him with a bigger gift. Because that's zeicha to the cotton mechal dech gadol. The stealing of the afikoman, which is not a theft, it's all a joke, because I know he's not stealing, because I'm watching him do it, and he's giggling while he's stealing it. The whole thing is a joke, because the whole initial she'elu was a joke. The she'elu was only to get us to part two of Bizas Hayam. Bizas Hayam, which is the real one. So we tell the kid right now, chaparos now, but this, you know what this is about? Because there were two thefts going on in Egypt at the time, and you'll get the big one later on also. If you get the little one, you get the big one. You need a little one to get to a big one. Otherwise, how are you getting a gadol for? The gadol needs a cotton in the beginning. So you take a cotton now, chop a piece of matzah. Is the matzah worth Met tickets? Maybe, yeah. Okay. Yankee tickets. It's not worth the Yankee tickets, right? You're giving the kid what, for a piece of matzah? The answer is because it's not about that. I want you to get something little to get something big. Which means we are doing a zecher to the Nes of the Vayishalu, to the Vayitnu, to the Bizayam, already about a Seder night. We're telling you now about a Seder night. I want to know another Nes I got to remind you of. I think I'm going too much now.
That's pretty good.